We're doing the Sefer Maasiyot, and Rav Nissim Gaon had gone off on a tangent discussing women and girls, and he quoted from Ben Sira that says that a daughter to her father is really a fool's treasure. Meaning at first glance, it's a treasure. Look at what a great thing God gave him. What a beautiful being. And on the other hand, at night he can't sleep because he's worried what's going to be with her when she's a teenager. And he's scared no one should seduce her. He's got to worry about that. And then when she hits her maturity, when she hits puberty, he's worried, will her fertility system kick in the way it should? He waits to see that she's healthy. And then he is worried, is she gonna be a regular woman? Will she be able to have kids? Will she develop the way girls do? Will she have the voice girls do? And then, will she be able to carry her baby to term? How many girls can't carry today? Baruch Hashem, we've, surmounted many of these issues, but take even something small. Today we know a woman whose blood type is minus, A minus, so then she gets a shot called anti-D, because otherwise, once she has a baby who's plus, then the baby's blood that mixes with her blood causes her blood to create antibodies, and then her body fights any new baby that comes that's a plus. So until they discovered that, until today, that we could give that shot. But you figure all the women who had A minus, who married a husband who had a plus, and then one of their kids ended up being a plus, and the next kids who would be a plus would all be miscarried. The body can't handle such a baby. A medical fact that we didn't know about until recently. I mean, the world's changed on us. It used to be very, very difficult to carry to term, and it used to be very difficult to overcome fertility issues. So this was a real concern. Look at how many women in Tanakh died of miscarriages, died of childbirth, the complications at childbirth. Then the father has to worry, am I ever going to marry her off? That's a real worry, still today. And then who knows if her husband will treat her right? And he's always worried. And will she be modest? Will she be the type of girl I want her to be? Will she be God-fearing? Or will she end up being one of these women who do all kinds of sorcery and who knows what? So praised is one who has sons who are fit in the way of Hashem. A person never knows who's going to turn out good. His son, his daughter, both of them, even better. But it's a concern. When it comes to a daughter, there are concerns that you don't have with the son. But that's what Ben Sira speaks about, how a daughter has all these worries that come with her that you have to be concerned about. Our sages say there's a concept called an almana shovavit, a widow who is repentant, a woman who has done tshuva, betula mitzulatzit, a virgin who's always praying they're destructive to the world. So the Talmud says, what's wrong with a widow who did tshuva, a virgin who's always praying? So the Talmud says these are people who are tricking people. In the eyes of men, everyone looks at the widow and she's pious, she's doing tshuva all day. But really, behind the scenes, she's doing all kinds of tricks on people and harming people. And she'd come and say, let me go pray for you and things will work themselves out. And really, she's the one that was causing the problems all along. The Talmud says they had different things that they can make that would prevent a woman from being able to deliver. And the widow sometimes knew how to do these things. And then she'd say, I'll go down right away. And she'd go back home and do things. She'd remove the things that prevented her from being able to give birth. And then she'd give birth. And then one would say, look how pious she is. Make sure to get her blessing before you have to give birth. And people would always beg her to pray for them. One time someone went and saw that really she had the things. The Talmud discusses different things she had in her house that were preventing people from being able to give birth. And when they saw that, they realized, hey, she's been making the problems all along, so of course she could resolve them. And once they figured it out, suddenly women didn't have problems giving birth. They chased her out of the city. So our sages said, be careful. If you teach your daughter Torah, so then she can misunderstand and misapply it. The logic of Torah is male logic, the logic of Talmud. Halachas, they also need to know, but the logic of Talmud is really, it jives correctly with the way men think, but women will, it's not really made for a women's form of understanding. The Talmud says, Ani chokhmah shachanti oma. The Torah teaches us how to be cunning. But you have to know how to apply that cunning correctly. And misapplied, so then the Torah can be really misconstrued. So the Talmud tells us, on the other hand, you want to know what a true Baal Tshuva is? You could learn that from women too. Meaning, I don't think women are bad. There are men who are good and men who are bad. Women who are good and women who are bad. And the Talmud warns us that sometimes people on the outside seem extra pious, but really behind the scenes there's something else doing. On the other hand, the Talmud says, you want to know what it means, the fear of sin? Yeah, you want to know what it means getting real wages? I'll show you a special virgin, I'll show you a special widow. What's the story? He says he once was walking and he heard a young girl falling on her face in prayer and saying, Master of the worlds, you created the Garden of Eden, you created perdition, you created the righteous for the Garden of Eden, and the wicked for perdition. May it be the will before you that no one should stumble because of me. I shouldn't stumble because of them, and they shouldn't stumble because of me. Obviously, she was talking about her looks. I don't want to end up in perdition. Says she once saw a widow going to a shul that was far from her house. He asked her, you have a shul that's close to your house. Why do you go to the one that's further away? She says, doesn't God give us wages for each footsteps? For each of our footsteps? So that's why she went to the one that was more distant. So the the Sefer Masiyot of Nisim Gaon says you have to choose in life, to choose a modest girl to stay away from those that are rebellious. And our sages said, even if you have to sell everything you own in order to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, which was in their days, you could count on that was a good girl. Today, I guess you would say that's a girl that went to good schooling, that learned well. I'm not talking about her grades. I'm talking about how she applies her learning in life, the type of person she is. The Talmud says you don't find the daughter of Talmud Chacham, marry the daughter of a Gadol Hador. You don't mind them, you don't find them, marry the daughter of the heads of the community. You don't find them, marry the daughter of a Gabbai Tzedakah, one who collects tzedakah for the poor. You don't find them, marry the daughter of someone who teaches children. You don't find them, then the Talmud doesn't give you anything else. The Torah says, don't marry the daughter of someone who's an Amoritz, because their girls are just like them. They're not going to end up being modest or faithful or anything else. Now again, all of this was in their days. The girls were illiterate, everything they knew they got from the home. So just like the Talmud says, the next line he quotes is, Talmud says, even if you have to sell everything you own, marry off your daughter to a Talmud Chacham. You marry off your daughter to an Amoritz, it's as though you gave her before the lion. And the idea is, he doesn't quote the continuation of the Talmud. The continuation is, just like a lion pounces on something before he devours it, so too an Amoritz is capable of smacking his wife before he's intimate with her. So the Talmud says, you marry off your daughter to an Amoritz, now you may end up putting her in a situation of abuse. That's not the right thing to do, to the point where Chazal wouldn't participate in a feast that was celebrating the wedding of the daughter of a Talmud Chacham to an Amoritz. Our sages say, if someone marries off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or gives business to a Talmud Chacham, or finds another way to give benefit to a Talmud Chacham, that's the type of person all the prophets spoke about the world to come. A person who connects to Talmud Chacham is connecting to the Shechina. When it comes to a person who learns Torah himself, so that's much better than anything the prophets described. All the goods the prophets described, everything good they described, was to someone who can connect like that. And now he's going to tell us a story about one of the good women, the daughters of one of the wealthy people, the famous person named Kalba Savua, who was given that nickname because if someone entered his home hungry like a kelev, like a dog, he'd walk out Savua, satiated. And he had a shepherd named Akiva. And he had a daughter who was beautiful. And she loved this Akiva. And she says to Akiva, I want you to take me as your wife. And Akiva agrees, but Kalba Savua hears of it and he's very upset. This shepherd Akiva, he doesn't know how to say in the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael. He's completely illiterate. He doesn't know anything. Kalba Savua's daughter might have been literate. She was the top of the top, from the top family. We have sources, he doesn't quote this, but we have sources that indicate that he was already either divorced or widowed. He already had a child with him. So here you have the top girl from the top family, from the wealthiest family, going with, imagine in our day and age, that would be like going, I don't know, what's I don't know what the cheapest job would be. I mean, maybe it would be like going with an illiterate truck driver. I don't know. I don't know what job is the lowest job today. But she's going. Her father says, "Look, if you take anyone else, but why a guy who's illiterate? He doesn't even know one pasuk in Torah, anything, nothing." But and she refuses. And so, although her father was among the wealthiest Jews of the time, he takes a vow and says, "I promise you're not going to see a penny of my wealth." And he was upset because of the concept we were just describing, that how could a person who's learned like him, how could his daughter choose someone who doesn't know a word of Torah, and what kind of husband is he going to be? And so now they're challenged. Will they marry or won't they marry? Will they build a home or won't they build a home? And we'll continue here, Bezalel Shem, next time.